Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until 2 o'clock here this afternoon on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon in another good program by Pastor Lutz preceding us, and I hope you enjoyed that. He's on at 1 o'clock, and then, of course, Pastor Rusnak will be following at 2 o'clock, and always a good program as well. Hope you stay tuned for that. But in the meanwhile, you're stuck with me, I guess. So, but glad to be with you today. And we're going to take a look at a couple of things here and maybe weave in some things that are happening in the world around us here today as we look at a passage here. I was kind of looking at where I wanted to start, and I think I'm actually going to start in Hebrews chapter 10. I was going between there and in Titus chapter 2, and I'm going to look at both of these verses here and some other ones, but let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to come together today. We just thank you for the medium of the radio and the freedom to be able to be on. We just pray that you would bless the program today for your glory, use us for your glory as well, and we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, as we begin looking at this tonight, just want to I want to remind you, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can find out more about us, listen to past programs, and you can also see some of the articles and things that I've written. Our latest church newsletter, I put together an article for that each month, and had an article in it this time, does the Bible teach communism? And you can find that there. And I encourage you to check that out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. There's also links to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and certainly invite you to come out and visit us. If you're not doing anything tonight, we have our Friday night Bible study starts at 7 o'clock tonight. It's an informal Bible study. We go from 7 to 9. If you can't stay that long, that's fine, but we have plenty of refreshments, plenty of coffee, and we also have a chance that people can ask questions, and kind of like what we do, especially on our Sunday night program, questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, and it's just a nice, relaxed setting. It gives you a chance to ask questions or listen to questions other people have, and we can discuss and investigate and look into the Word of God. The Bible has answers if we're willing to read it, willing to dig into it, and willing to take a look. All right, but I want to mention something, like I said here today, in Hebrews chapter 10, and I was looking at this because I was intrigued by an article I read recently where the title of the article was, "What Did You Expect the End Times to Be Like?" And that's a good question because, you know, there's nowhere in the Bible that Jesus promises that the end times are going to be trouble-free. In fact, I think it would be just the opposite. We're warned in the Scriptures that in the latter days there would be perilous times, Paul wrote to Timothy. And we know that we're in a spiritual battle. We see it raging around us. But this passage in Hebrews chapter 10, I think this is where it's so much more important and becomes more important every day. He says in Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse number 23, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Now, if you've got a King James Bible, you're better suited already to understand what's going on in this verse, because the King James Bible is true to the original Greek, where it has verses 23, 24, and 25 all as one sentence. Some of the modern versions break up these longer sentences into shorter, choppier sentences, but in doing so, it sacrifices the integrity and the meaning of the text. That's one of the many, many reasons that our church holds to the King James Bible as the Word of God in the English language. And as we're looking at this, it begins with, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." That kind of echoes what Paul said to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 6, where he says, "Having done all, stand." And this tells us that there's going to be a time when we're going to be challenged. We are going to be challenged to perhaps rethink what we believe, and some people even be challenged to give up what they believe. And so he says, hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, meaning be consistent, stand fast, like he said to the Ephesians. We are in a battle. There is a spiritual battle raging round about us, and we see it happening in the world today. We see it happening in the pronouncements that come out of the Biden administration. We see it happening in the media decrying the views of Bible-believing Christians as racist and fear-mongering and all of these sorts of things. We see it in the world around us, and it is a challenge to remain true to the Word of God, to remain true to what we believe, to remain true to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so he says, hold fast the profession of our faith. One thing also I like about this is God holds fast to us. Over in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, I like the precious promise that Jesus gave to us. He said in John chapter 14 that we're in his hand, and that we're in his hand because we're in his hand, nobody is going to be able to take us out of his hand. And so that's a tremendous promise that we have, and that's something that we need to keep in mind, that God is not going to let go of us. He's going to hold on to us. John chapter 10, and I said 14, John chapter 10, John chapter 14 is where is the promise that he's preparing a place for us. He's coming back for us, which is also very encouraging. But John chapter 10, where he said in verse number 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." And see, we don't have to hold fast, in a sense, to the Lord, lest we be lost. He's holding fast to us. In fact, Jesus went on to say in verse number 29 there, "My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." You know, it's a case where we don't have to hold on to him. He holds on to us. But Paul, I believe Paul is the human writer of Hebrews here, Paul says, hold fast to the profession of our faith. See, sometimes we doubt. Sometimes we periods of time where we're just not sure. And he's telling us here, hold fast to the profession of our faith. That's what we have to maintain. We have to maintain a witness, a testimony before people. We have to hold fast to the profession of our faith. God's going to hold us fast. He's going to hold us in his hand. Nobody, including yourself, is going to pluck us out of his hand. He's holding us in his hand, and he will never leave us nor forsake us. But we need to hold fast to our profession. We need to profess Christ before men. The temptation, when you see the things happening in the world around us, is to, in a sense, walk back our Christian witness and to kind of hide it and to cover it up and not to openly confess Christ. But in these days, we need to do so more and more. So he says, hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And again, that's a reminder there from John chapter 10, where he said that he would hold on to us and that he was, we would not be plucked out of his hand. And then he says, continuing here in Hebrews chapter 10, the very same sentence, he said, "And let us consider one another," which means we need to pay attention to fellow believers during this time. Not only are we to hold fast a profession of our faith, we are to consider one another. You know, your fellow believers, the people you go to church with, the fellow Christians in your family, in your community, we're all going to be challenged in these trying times. And we need to consider one another. He says, consider, pay it. That means pay attention. See and take note of how other believers are doing during these trying times. He said, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Provoke means to motivate, and to love and to good works. This is what we need to consider one another, to provoke unto love and good works. Because, again, as the world becomes more antagonistic towards Christians, as it becomes harder and harder to be a Christian in the world around us during these times in which we live, we need to help motivate, provoke one another unto love and to good works. We're still supposed to let our light shine before men. We are still supposed to be salt in the world around us. And then he says this statement here, and all this, remember, is the same sentence. And then he says in verse 25, Hebrews 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now, one of the things that we've noticed during this pandemic is churches closing their doors. And I like what Pastor Lutz said in his program just before ours, in his program for the cause of Christ. He made a statement that perhaps it's better that some churches that close don't reopen their doors, and there are some churches it's probably better that they're closed. But for churches that are striving to uplift and uphold our Savior and hold to the Word of God and to encourage people to live godly in this present evil world, those churches need to be not forsaken. Maybe that's an awkward way of saying it. Those churches need to be supported. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now, it doesn't give us an out here during times of pandemic. It doesn't give us an out here during times of war. It doesn't give us an out here during times, except for times when the government says you can't meet in person. No, we are to continue assembling together. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And there are people who have bought into this. Well, you know, we don't really need to meet. The government says it's not safe. It's amazing when you look at what's going on with this so-called pandemic. I just read an article earlier today where they are talking about in San Francisco, I believe it is, in California, with all of the dire statistics of COVID-19 and people dying, the total number of people under the age of 12, I believe it is, that have died in San Francisco from this from COVID is a grand total of zero. They said it's the same number of people under the age of 12 that have died from having safes fall on their head. It's the same number of people who have died in this period of time as have had pianos fall on their head. I thought that was kind of an interesting way they put that, but the idea is it's less than nothing to worry about. Can kids get it and have kids gotten it? Yes, but generally speaking, children that get it, I saw a thing somewhere, it said 40% of young people have probably had COVID and been asymptomatic, meaning never knew they had it. Well, there's a great reason that we need a mandatory vaccine for children under age of 12, let alone under the young people under the age of 18. And yet, Joe Biden was making a statement yesterday that we need these vaccinations of children if we're going to keep the schools open. What's he doing? Threatening to close schools if you don't vaccinate all the students? They already issued the orders, came out from OSHA, that all businesses employing 100 or more people have to have mandatory vaccine requirements. And now, of course, Biden is now speculating, you know, maybe we need to have orders for businesses under 100 employees being mandated to have vaccines. And then charging horrendous fines if you don't comply. And it's all very much a manipulative thing when you look at this. And again, they don't even mention about the fact that people who have had COVID are much more resistant to it than the people who've had the vaccines. And in fact, the president's own press secretary, Jen Psaki, who's been vaccinated, came down with COVID. How about that? Well, part of the reason is because the vaccines only give you partial immunity, whereas if you've had COVID, and like the vast majority, 99.6% at least or so of the people who have had COVID, you survive without any problems, and you have natural immunity, which is much, much better. I was trying to think of a way to explain it, and I have some keys on my keychain, and I'm jangling them in the phone or in the microphone purposely, you know, so you can hear I have a bunch of keys. And I'll give you a quick example, since with radio you can't see what I'm doing. If I hold one key, that one key opens one lock. That's like getting the vaccine. You've got one key. You've got one set of antibodies. But if you've had COVID, you have a whole bunch of keys, because there's more than just a spike protein on the virus. There's other elements, other parts that make up the virus shell and other things on there that your body reacts to. And so rather than one key, you have a whole bunch of keys that opens a whole bunch of locks, meaning you have a whole bunch of antibodies. And so one of the reasons the Delta variant is affecting people so much that have had vaccinations, in many cases, people who've had the vaccination are coming down with the Delta variant, coming down with COVID greater numbers than people who've not been vaccinated. That's because people who've not been vaccinated include a huge number of people who've had COVID, and they've got better immunity, whereas the people who've been vaccinated have a false sense of security, and they're prone to the variant that doesn't have as strongly developed a spike protein as the other one is that was circulating a year ago that they're vaccinated for. Well, I don't want to spend any more time on that, but getting back to this, they're using these things as reasons to keep people apart. And I went to a program last night in Wadsworth, where they talked about religious exemptions. And there's a great program that was put on Chris Long, the Ohio Christian Alliance, along with State Representative Scott Wiggum. And if you go to ohioca.org, you can find out more information about that. That's ohioca.org. Some of the information on religious exemptions to the mandatory vaccines. But I noticed something afterwards. You see groups of people standing afterwards, sharing experiences and talking. And I was thinking as I was watching this about what happens in a local church. What happens in the local church when you come together and you assemble together? What happens is before the services actually start, you see people gathered together talking, sharing things that are happening in their life, sharing prayer requests with each other, sharing and celebrating and praising God for blessings in their life, maybe sharing things that are challenging them and asking people to help them and to pray for them. And this is something that happens. And then when the service is over, I'll see people standing after church talking about things again and talking about things that struck them in the message, perhaps, or maybe something about something that's going to be coming up in the week and asking for prayer about that. These are things that don't don't happen when you assemble online on Zoom or something like that, because when the Zoom meeting's over, what happens? Everything clicks off, doesn't it? Well, there's no encouraging one another. There's no provoking one another to love and to good works. This is why the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And then he says this, but exhorting one another, meaning, you know, come on, get out to church, come to church, come join us when we come together, exhorting one another. And then he says, as the sentence concludes, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Well, what's the day approaching? Well, it's the day of the Lord's return. And as we look forward to the day of the Lord's return, this is where I was looking at Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, verse 13 is the middle of a longer sentence. But for time's sake, I'm just going to read this middle section here in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, where he says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We are looking forward to the day that the Lord is going to come back for us. But again, as I said, and I started about the article I read, what did you expect the end times to be like? Did you think that just things are going to get better and better and better, and then the Lord's going to come back and it's going to be so good that he's going to have to come back for us? No, the Bible never says that. The Bible, in fact, says the opposite. We have to expect persecution. We have to expect difficulty. We have to expect perilous times. The Bible says perilous times are going to come, and we need to be prepared. We need to encourage one another in the Lord. We need to come together in local churches. Local church is not the building. It's the assembly of God's people together. Because we live in a day where it is perilous times. It is, as Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away, he says. You know, if you've been watching the liberal left commentators over the upset in Virginia, where the Republicans swept the top offices in the state, the governor, the lieutenant governor, the attorney general. You can see the words that Paul wrote to Timothy on display on things like CNN and MSNBC and things like that. And he says, this is a characteristic of the last time or the last days. Well, what did Jesus say in Luke chapter 21? He said, when you see these things begin to happen. And in the context there, in the larger context, he's talking about the events of the tribulation. And he says in Luke chapter 21, let me read starting in verse 28, and when these things begin to come to pass, he says, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake unto them in a parable, behold, the fig tree and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now at nigh at hand. So likewise, verse 31, so likewise, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. We see the setup taking place before us of what's going to happen during the seven-year tribulation period. But that blessed hope that Paul wrote to Titus in Titus 2:13, that blessed hope is the catching away of the believers that he wrote to the Thessalonians about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that he wrote to the Corinthians about in the latter half of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the catching away of the believers to be with him, to go to be with him in heaven. We're looking forward to that. And as the days grow darker and more evil, It's greater time to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You know Christ is your Savior. That's what you need in these last days. Thanks for listening. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.